Hey, babes, welcome to Tea Time. You know,
it's been a minute.
I have a question.
Yeah, I hopefully have an answer.
When you exercise, what is the criteria for the music you listen to? Because this morning, I was in the room next door painting, doing my morning journaling, and my wife was in the gym next door to that. And what I love about it, that we're both of our little quote-unquote offices are next to each other, is that, you know, I get to participate in the music you listen to. But this morning was interesting, which is why I asked the question. Do you want to answer, or shall I say what your playlist was this morning?
Well, you asked what the criteria was.
Yeah, what the criteria is.
And the criteria is whatever vibe I wake up wanting. And I don't always listen to music. So this morning, in particular, I was just really in a J-Lo mood. And so I was like, let's go.
It was so eclectic this morning. I found it interesting. It went from J-Lo, which, oh my God, we love an early 2000s J-Lo album.
My love don't cost a thing, right? Thing when your world had been de-escalated. So that W gave.
Monetized.
I can't.
And so then we went into somebody I had never heard before. It was like a new person with that green bathing suit. I don't know. But then one of your favorites came in, and it was Return of the Mac.
That was, we ended there.
No, you didn't. You didn't end there, because the song right after that was a Disney compilation. I just found your mixtape this morning very interesting. Maybe you weren't exercising to it, but it definitely went from Return of the Mac to Can You Feel the Love Tonight to Ariel.
Babes.
It was hilarious. And I said,
here's,
I don't know.
Here's the difference. This is what okay, you're funny.
I don't understand
so
the
I wasn't
criteria
listening.
For music.
I wasn't listening to those. I was singing. Here's, I listened.
So from Return of the Mac.
I listened to J-Lo. Uh-huh. Then I listened to some Lady Gaga.
Okay.
Then Return of the Mac.
Yeah.
Then I just had music in my head.
Yeah.
And when I have music in my head, I just start going.
So you went to Elton
Disney.
John Disney, and did Return of the Mac bring you there?
Yeah. Return of the Mac brought me there, and then I was like, literally, can you feel the love?
But I thought somebody was singing with you.
No, baby, that was all me.
Wow. Good job. Just wanted to know the criteria for your playlist of exercising in the morning.
Because also, I think that my voice isn't amazing, but I think this one part I do really well. Why won't he be the king? I know he is. I think I sound really good when I do that. So I just like to sing it a lot. Just that. It's just that.
Do it again.
And I think
Let
I build
see.
It up
Let
really
me hear.
Well.
Let me see it.
Okay, wait. So many things to tell her. But how to let
but
her
how
see
I can see. Yeah, but how
the
I can't
truth
decide.
About my past impossible. She'll turn away from me.
Yeah.
He's holding back. He's hiding from what I can't decide. Why won't he be the king? I know he is. The king I see inside. Feel it. I think I do really good. So I just think I sound so good to myself. That was the hardest I've ever worked to sing. Ever. Like I'm salivating a little bit. And I just want to hear myself sound as good as I think I do. So I just sing that one part over and over.
I really appreciate the consistency in that. And the fact that Return of the Mac brought you to there. That's all I wanted to say to you this morning.
Won't you be the king? I know he is. And I just really wish I were a singer.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
What would be like your song of choice if you... You're an artist right now. What kind of music are you singing for the masses? Are you singing Elton John's? Are you singing R&B? Are you singing
pop?
Oh, no.
If I truly had a voice and I was singing to the masses, I would be singing somewhere between like Adele and Lady Gaga. Like, I want to have a fucking voice.
Wow.
And I want to be able to be like, oh.
That's how they sound to you? That's what they
did
look
you
like?
Did you know that Sonny took all of Cher's money?
Yes, I did know that. That's why he got hit. That's why...
I didn't know
I think karma came back to him for that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Because she was the one out there in no clothes. And if I could turn back time.
Thank you for explaining that to me.
Now you understand.
Yeah?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's an interesting morning. I really wanted to ask you that question.
I'm just musically all over the place. That's really funny that you wanted to ask me a question, because I wanted to ask you a question too.
Yeah, tell
which
me.
Was, have you ever heard of a ninja lesbian? It's a new category of lesbian.
Not a new one.
Yeah.
Okay, what's in this category?
So a ninja lesbian is a lesbian who presents totally feminine, totally straight, but is a ninja lesbian because they're out there being all stealth and shit because no one can detect them.
Wait, are they stealthy in their gender expression or are they stealthy because people think they're straight and they're just out here and then coming back into straight land?
Yeah, it's basically...
So they're bi?
No. Oh, they are lesbian. A lesbian.
Oh, okay.
But they look
straight.
Entirely straight in terms of what one perceives a straight female to look like.
Well, I do have a good radar for straight women who are, like, thinking about lesbianism.
Yeah, that's how you caught me. Because I was going to say, do you think I'm a ninja lesbian?
For sure you're a ninja lesbian.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think you present as lesbian.
I finally have a category.
Oh, babes, you're a ninja.
Like, I finally have a box, and I'm a ninja lesbian.
Where'd you, who taught you that? TikTok?
Obviously.
TikTok.
Put your hand in that pot.
Put your hand in a pot.
What are we talking about today? Such a songy day.
It's a song, sing, song a day. Babes, I'm so hungry.
You're always hungry if you don't eat.
Right.
A stranger, someone Aww. I've never met before. That's in the same vein of, you're always hungry if you don't eat. Well, no shit, Sherlock.
This is a great category, and I think today's the day to talk about
it. Is it a category?
Yeah. I call it a category because it's encompassing of so many different things.
What is that?
You can love your dog. You can love your partner. You can love your work. You can love a shirt. There's so many things that you can love. So I think it's a category. Okay. Unless you think that this is purely just talking about the feeling.
No, I think that we can take it wherever we want. That's the beauty of this show that we've created.
That you're watching right now.
Tea time.
Or listening to.
So love.
Love.
I love you.
I love you too.
Hi.
Hi. You look so cute with those roses. You're like shining.
Thank you. I love our new set.
Yeah, me too. I love our new set.
So tell us. Tell all of us.
Yeah.
When did you realize you were in love with me?
Let me find this out, Leo. Let me figure out what
yeah,
I
Yeah, find this out. She's like, I still don't know if I am. So let me just like find this out real quick. Just kidding. No, she definitely
out.
Is in love.
I'm in love with you. I just, when it happened, I think.
5 minutes after you met me. Insane.
No. I'm gonna be 100. I think I realized I was in love with you when I broke up with you and I started dating other people and I couldn't get you out of my mind. And everybody compared to you.
That's, yeah.
And everything somebody did, I'm like, she wouldn't have done that. She wouldn't have done that. And when I finally talked to you again, I have this with a lot of people though. Like if I don't talk to people for a few months or something, I come back and we're like, cool, we chop it up. It's like time hasn't switched. But my body and my brain knew I was in love with you as soon as we talked again because I couldn't get off the phone with you.
Wait. As soon as we talked again, meaning that time we saw each other and we shouldn't have seen each other, or that time?
No, not that time. It was after everything was done and I put you in my pocket.
Got it.
I was like, I don't want to leave her again.
That was wild. I obviously didn't want to be left again either because I was like, it didn't matter what time it was. I spent my entire day, I was like 24 hours, just like everything else in my life stopped. And I was just like focused solely on being available to you.
And what I mean.
No, not same here. You were like, I got to go to the studio. But
you were in my pocket for the whole day. And what I mean by that is that she was on the phone and I needed both of my hands, but I don't wear earbuds.
You don't want to hang up.
So I put her in my pocket.
And this is how desperate phone. I was to be connected to you. I was just looking at a black screen on FaceTime the
see
whole
her
time,
eventually.
Just hearing you from a distance, and you're like, should I keep this book? I couldn't see the book. I was like, no, get rid of it. Should I keep these shoes? Oh, I hate these shoes. Hold on. I was like, I don't care. I'm literally like,
when
ridiculous.
Did you know that you were in love?
And period? Like the
period.
First time?
Like the first time you were with someone, you were like, I love this person. Do you remember that? The difference between a Leo and a Sag is it's about her, and I'm the more general.
Hilarious. No, you know, it's interesting because I was thinking about this the other day because I actually took this quiz, and it had one of the questions was, like, I fall in love easily or I can remember when or I've never been in love before. Mm. And I was, like, trying to actually really understand what that
feeling is. And I know the differences between what I feel in relationship with you from what I felt in past relationships, and then trying to decipher the difference between love, lust, infatuation, because so much of what I had in my younger life was, I think, obsession and infatuation, and then a strong desire to feel validated by this other person, because I put that person that I had a crush on a pedestal. And I was like, if they accept me and they say that they like me back, I'm validated. And that means I'm worthy of this person. But I think that real love for me with another person in a romantic setting probably would had to have been my first high school boyfriend. I think. I mean,
Viking.
No. I think it would have to be. But I don't know. I don't have a moment.
My first boyfriend I was in love with.
But I don't have a moment looking back on that relationship where I go, this was the moment. Like, I knew how hard I worked to get him. I knew how much I wanted the attention. But I don't know if the real love, I know the crush, I know the butterflies, but like with you, it's so different because it, first of all, I just had a knowing with you. The first time we met, it was like my body became calm. I didn't have to work hard. I didn't have to try and fight or convince or prove. It just felt easy and I felt safe. Like there were things in me that adjusted that were completely different.
I think when the first time I ever fell in love, I knew it was love because, and yes, it was with a guy, but it started with an infatuation for sure.
Yeah.
And it was the first feeling of, I will leave my immediate family for this person. I would like to see my life with this person. And then, which was hilarious, that person also knew that I'm like, but you know I'm gonna have a girlfriend. Like, you know you're not gonna be the only one in this relationship. So I will say maybe I confused it, but I know for a fact that because I was with that person for so long, there was love there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And I still have love for that person, not in a romantic way, just on a human base, and we talk about that all the time. But at the same time, like, that was that. That's, keep that shit over there, like, you know what I mean? But I know the 7 to 8 years that we were together at such a young age molded who I am as a human in a relationship, period, point blank. So I respect that and thank that person for that moment.
What are the tells in you across the board, right? Let's just not in like romantic relationships, but just in dynamics or relationships with people that let you know you have love for that person.
The fact that I would, for lack of a better term, ride or die. You know, it's like if they call me at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, I'll answer. I don't shun them. I don't ghost them. I'm like, when I say, call me if you need something, I don't just say that to anybody random. If I'm meeting someone, I'm like, hey, hit me up whenever. That's different than call me when you need something. I think I use more slang with people that I don't love. And when I love you, I speak in full sentences so you know that I'm telling the truth. My body, I think I want to be close to them and not in a sexual manner. You know, let's remember we're humans. Yeah. I have friends, no sexual desire, but I'll be like, let's hug. Let's have a snuggle. I'm going to be up underneath you and watch a movie. I'm more touchy feely. I'm more touchy feely. Romance is different for me, though, right? When I'm in a romantic relationship with someone, I'm actually a little bit more shy.
Yeah, I know you are. It's really cute. I find it really interesting because I have been thinking about this randomly. I don't know why. Quite a bit in trying to understand what love really feels like, what it really means. And I was thinking about family. I love my parents. Why do you love your parents?
Why do we
love our siblings? That is just like a given that you're going to love that person.
Yeah. It's innate.
And for me, thinking about it, I was like, okay, do I love my mom because of what she makes me feel? Or do I love my mom because of the person she is? Or is it both? Meaning, like, my mom and most of our moms, let's say, or our parents, their responsibilities are to clothe us, keep us alive. So just in the same way that an animal would look upon the person that takes care of them with connection and you're dependent, does love stem from that? And does love stem from that because it kind of has to, or we're told that it does, or because of something greater? I know that with like mother and child, there is chemical and hormonal bonding, oxytocin. But for me, with my mom, I was thinking about, you know, she cheerleaded me. She encouraged me. She validates me. She makes me believe that I'm capable of anything. She tells me that I'm beautiful. She tells me that she thinks I'm one of the funniest people, if not the funniest person she's ever met. And all of those things, I'm like, do I then love her because of how I feel she loves me? You know what I'm saying?
Like, I do understand what you're saying. And I kind of want to take it to a different route. And to all the family members and loved ones, hear me out before you judge me.
Okay.
We're humans. We're animals, right? We can't take care of ourselves for a certain period of time until we can. And I do believe that love is based in trust. It's based in aliveness. Like, you kept me safe. You kept me alive. I'm eating. I'm literally on your teat. So you're feeding me. There is that chemical reaction. However, I don't think that sustains love. I think there comes a point in a human's life when you start to look outside of your family unit and see other types of love, and then you start to morph. And then it's like, oh, why do I, like you're questioning now, why do I love you? Because there's some people who go nonverbal with their parents because of the way that they were treated. And I think that you're right when we talk about treatment.
Yeah.
It's the comfort level of treatment. Like everything you name that your mom does, I tell you that you're beautiful. I tell you that I know I see things bigger for you than you see for yourself. Like I'm giving you that same validation in my own way, but that also sparks a memory in you that's like, this is comfort. That's why I feel a lot of people say you marry your parent. You marry that person that brought you childhood comfort. You know what I mean? You fall in love with your mom or your dad in that person, the good and the bad. And I honestly do feel like love is a chemical reaction.
That is, yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I think that there are some people who would say that love simply is. It doesn't, it can't grow or morph or shift because love is this pure thing in and of itself, right? Love is patient, love is kind, love is the purest form. It's the opposite of hate. So it's kind of, there is that one conversation of love is infinite and endless between two people, and it between any two people. You can choose to love this world and love this world wholly, but then you cannot enjoy certain elements or aspects of people's behavior. So I think that depending upon your perspective of love, when you then look at the mother and child, you can think that is love, but then in order to maintain relationship, you have to respect each other. You have to work, because thinking
and that
about
grows love.
Yeah, it does.
It grows love, you know.
And it's it, and the thing too that I was thinking about, like in a marriage, right? People often will talk about relationships and say you have to choose every day. You have to work at it. You have to show up. You have to be your best self. Those are all different than love.
Yeah.
Those are maybe done in an act of love, but love itself can exist even if you don't do those things.
I do agree. I do feel like categorizing it, love is a vibration that lives between us all.
There you go.
But it's your choice to vibe in that love category or vibe in the hate category. And it's hard to choose love sometimes because love is welcoming and it's non-judgmental. I totally agree with you in that aspect. However, when you start bringing in society, when you start bringing in education, when you start bringing in insecurity, when you start bringing in all arguments and resentment, I can understand why people say choose. You have to choose every day. And, you know, just kind of going to what you were saying about, you should really choose yourself to make yourself desirable, lovable, happy, so that when you show up in the morning, you're that way for yourself and that other person can feed off of it. And I give an example of us. When you are in a a mood mm-hmm. where you're not fully in love with yourself, I react. I don't react as some would. I'm very feely-feely. And I'm like, what's wrong? Come on. You got this. You're amazing. Come on. Come on. Instead of super sweet and kind. Oh, I love you. You know what I mean? I'm more of a pushy person. I'm writing a book about it. It makes sense. But that's that love that emanates out of you. And when you emanate love from yourself, I suck it up and love it. And then there's moments where I'm like, I need to show her love so that she can then feel it and choose it. Because another vibration is taking over.
Mm-hmm. I was going to ask you what your relationship is with yourself and self-love. Because like you just said, for me, loving myself, that's weird for me. Like hard. I do not understand. I think that there are things I do that are acts of self-care that now I kind of have put under the umbrella of self-love. But there are some people who are like, yeah, I love myself. I'm amazing.
That's confidence.
Confidence, but I think they really mean that. Like they love themselves. And I think it's super important to love yourself and love on yourself. But it is.
I'd be loving it myself.
I know. You be loving on yourself all the time. You know, she can't stop loving herself. She loves herself first and foremost. But and then there are things like that too, right? People say like before you get into a relationship, you have to love yourself. And I don't agree with that.
I fully agree.
I do not agree with that.
I fully agree if you want a relationship that's balanced. If you're trying to get into a relationship with utter balance, you have to know who you are. And I'm going to take the word love out of it. You have to know who you are, your flaws as much as you can, and also be open and allow that person to be themselves. Because there's some people who don't fully agree. They get into a relationship and you're expecting that other person to lift you up. Mm-hmm. And that takes a lot of energy for the other partner to the point where it's like, I'm not your mom. I'm not your therapist. I'm trying to be your lover. And I want to vibrate with you on the same plane. It's really hard. And it's not like you need to fix every quirk because different quirks will come out in your life. But it is a thing of like taking care of the major pieces a little bit.
I know some people who get really stuck in the thought process of I have to be in this perfect place to have the relationship that I want.
Perfect is a bad word.
And I have to love myself. And I know a lot of people who struggle with the idea or the concept of loving themselves. And therefore, they feel like they aren't worthy or able to have a relationship. And for me, as long as you're self-aware, you can have a relationship where you understand that you still have work to do, but you can't put that on your partner. And I think, though, even if you are someone who does that, then it's a learning experience. I think every relationship is a learning experience, and every relationship allows personal growth. And therefore, if you go into something and you see that you're too fucked up to function or be balanced, or you are not evolved enough in your own journey to be selfless or be a...
Then don't be mad if that person leaves you.
Yeah, but that's the learning experience, right? Like, I'm not a good partner right now because I am not treating myself well enough to then understand how to give to someone else. I think that's valid.
I think that's selfish.
But that is growth. That takes time.
I know. But I think it's selfish because you're going into this with... You're going into this a little blind. I truly feel that to be respectful of someone else's time and energy, you really have to walk into a relationship, honestly. When we met, what did I say about myself and my flaws? You remember?
No.
I said, I am a depressed being and I'm crazy.
I don't remember either of those things. I mean, those things like prove themselves over time.
No, but every single relationship, I say that. I say I am.
It's just like you don't kiss first.
I never kiss first. Mm-hmm. I'm never going to never.
You kissed me first.
I did not kiss you first.
You 100%.
I can't kiss you first because if I kiss first and you're not.
I never kiss first. I never initiate shit.
Every single time you kissed me first.
Never.
Yes, babes.
You were...
Listen, there's a difference. If I'm like this, mm-hmm. You're not going to do it now because you're going to show a point, Leo. But what I'm saying is I was that close and you kiss me first.
No.
Yes, no. I put you close to me, but you kiss me first. I didn't come in and hold your head and make...
No, you didn't. You know what you did? You laid your head really close to mine on the pillow.
And?
And then you said, your face is really close to mine, Miranda.
And then you kissed me. I did not know. No, you can't change the time.
And then we kissed.
There you go.
Because you leaned on all the way in.
Listen, just because I'm close to you and my face is really close to yours, you're still making the next move.
So why don't you believe that you ever kissed first?
She's really trying to get me out here in these streets. Okay. I can't kiss first because...
Your fear of rejection. Your deep-seated fear of rejection. But that's why I don't kiss first, bitch. So is that the tea? Yeah, we've never kissed. We've been married.
No one has kissed either of us.
We've never kissed.
We've never kissed.
That's the truth.
Because we refuse to kiss first. See? Oh, damn. I kissed first. I made the sound first.
You kissed me first. That's how you know you're really in love with me.
No, I did not kiss you first, Miranda.
You did.
But I want to get back to this.
You asked me to go to Costco with you.
Always. But I didn't kiss you first. But I want to go back to like love and, you know, showing up to a relationship.
Yes.
I do think it's very selfish if you go into a relationship consciously knowing that you have things that you need to work on, but you're blinded by the feeling of being with this person. And then talk shit about them when they leave because they're too busy picking up the pieces for you.
Yeah.
I think that's disrespectful and unfair.
That is very situational and that's also very specific.
That situation has happened a lot around me.
Yeah, but that's very, I think it's really specific to also the scenarios because here's the deal. If you, let's say, are somebody who is in the throes of like an eating disorder, but you meet somebody and you connect with them. I think that if you're able to go, okay, I have this issue, like I'm not well in myself, but I've met this person and maybe that person is willing to like be a support or be a safe space. Like that's different than going into something when you're like in a cycle of like severe self-sabotage or you're playing the blame game and so
that's I'm not talking about an eating disorder or
I know
or
but like I think that. It
but
I think we have to
specify but also I'm a generalization type of person like
I know
I have depression so when I get into a relationship I'm like look I have depression so there'll be times when I do this and do this and do this I got into this I told you this I know for sure because I make this a thing of mine. You got into it. You're like, oh, okay. And I'm like, you don't have to be a part of this journey, but thank you for supporting me through mine, right? Mm-hmm. There's some people who just willy-nilly get into it, and I don't appreciate it. And I will say, too, you know, love, I think, in a relationship where you are wounded.
Which we all are.
Which we all are. We're all fucking wounded.
That's the thing, too, though. Can I say this really quickly? It's like one of the most sacred things that has happened in our relationship for me is it has been a safe space for me to go through my shit with someone else there. So as somebody who has really extreme abandonment issues, as somebody who really actually isn't triggered unless they're in a relationship, like I'm fine on my own. I kind of can coast in that space. Like I'll still have my quirks and whatever, but my real shit, like the karmic healing that I have to do, my patterns, they show up in a relationship dynamic because that's where I'm my most wounded. So for me, that could look through someone else's lens as a person who's like completely a wreck, who should have been on their own dealing with these things, but I don't even feel those things or understand those emotions unless I'm in relationship. So for me, so much of what has happened, so much of my healing has been the fact that you're not going anywhere. And I'm allowed to act out in my feelings and you...
But I knew you had situations before.
But you didn't know the extent of it.
I didn't know all of them.
Yeah.
But I will answer that response in, and that's what love is.
Yeah.
It's like, I will go through your shit with you.
I agree.
There's been some people showed up to the table. I'm not going through your shit with
you.
Yeah. I don't love you enough to care.
Or it's
100. I don't love you enough to care about your situation. I love you enough to sit there. I love you enough to argue. I love you enough to discuss. I love you enough to move
forward.
And that's
scary to someone
like me. That's different. Why?
Because when you haven't had that before, it's really hard to understand how to trust that. And if you have abandonment issues, it's really difficult to believe that if I show somebody all of me, and I let myself kind of become my unfiltered version, that they'll still stay.
Well,
it's scary.
I think you got a person who grew up in a kind of weird household to where they would say let me finish. They would say things and then afterwards say, I love you and I'm doing this because I love you.
Well, that's
not all healthy. Yeah. That's not healthy, but I have a different brain, so I filtered. And so I know that not everybody, which is one of the problems that I have in a relationship, but not everybody gives themselves checks and balances when they're in a relationship. They tend to let all the girdles open.
All the girdles.
All the girdles are unlocked. The bra is off and there's no filter in the sense of which it's there's a difference between acting out in society versus closed doors. Yeah. Sometimes people close the door and you're like, what in the actual fuck am I seeing right now? And there's some people close the doors and they can relax, but then some stuff pops up. And I think that's fair. And I have to love you enough to accept that. Now, if you go crazy, we'll have a conversation.
Yeah. And I mean, just to clarify for everyone, it's not like I'm throwing massive fits and going insane and like becoming a belligerent, put that eyebrow all the way down, becoming Quinn. Some belligerent, like wild person. I think Quinn. All, don't bring up Quinn. She's talking about our puppy. Goddamn. My point is that the feelings that I'm really battling are so internal. It's so deeply a struggle within my own self. And then it obviously manifests into things that anyone would pick up on, like a mood swing or sadness or fear, like calling over and over. But it's not rage machine.
No, you're not a rage machine. But I think it happens as we grow up. I think it happens as you feel safe. When you start feeling safe and you can take off the bra and the girdle, other things that have been hiding in the wings come out, and that's fine.
And here, let's talk about Quinn for a second, because this is an interesting story, I think, and especially looking back on it. So when you talk about big feelings, so
and love
you went and got Quinn, and I was not with you when you got him. I was under the impression that you were just going to see this puppy, and
but I said I'm gonna go get
you said I'm gonna go get the puppy, but yeah, in my head I didn't think you would actually like bring him, get the puppy. I don't know why I didn't connect that as being as literal as it was. And when you came home with Quinn, I was infuriated. And the initial or the energy that you got was my infuriation, right? But what was happening behind the scenes for me was I felt left out. I felt like this really major life decision had been made without me. I felt sad that I wasn't there. I felt like you were giving more to this thing or prioritizing that dog over me because you didn't think, oh, let me bring my wife back to meet this puppy and make sure like we're all a family. I feel like I had missed out on this family moment. And I was sad, and it triggered so many feelings in me about rejection and not being prioritized or not being seen or listened to or blah, 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 which is all my old personal shit that manifested in that moment between you and I having this big fight and me also then like rejecting the puppy. And I think back, I feel still to this day feel terrible about how I behaved, because I look at Quinn now, who I love so much. Sweet angel baby, like puppies, dogs, animals, they're the purest souls, and we just hurt them as humans. And I look at him and I'm like, oh my God, Miranda, what the fuck? And I, what was the other option? The other option would have been to just love you both and welcome you home and be excited. And I didn't have the ability to do that because of my shit and because of my hurt and because of how I perceived that situation.
And
it was awful.
What was interesting to me is,
and I'm still really sorry.
It's okay.
Because I still feel really guilty.
We're just never going to do that again.
No.
Yeah. My thing was during that whole fiasco, at every moment when you started to say things, I'm like, do you want me to give him back?
Which
you were like, no, don't. And I'm like, well, I don't understand then why you're mad. I couldn't understand it. I'm like, you don't want me to give him back. You want him here, but then you also want to like complain.
Because the fear of you resenting me after was greater. And I'm glad I had that awareness, because to me, had I been like, yeah, give that dog back,
then missed out on some great things together.
But also the potential of how then you would look at me was too scary. Like, I wasn't going to go through that. That was a risk. And I was like, I'm not going to live with the feeling of being the person that made my wife take the puppy back and da da da. Because you would have been mad at me. Yes. You would have been mad and disappointed.
But
and
I would
upset.
Have gotten over it. I'd have been I mad. Wouldn't have. I would have been mad and I would have been like, okay, well, she doesn't want a puppy. She has to be in charge. Leo, you have to be in charge. And
that's
I also know
you.
The person that I'm with. It's like, we're not that couple where I bring a box into the house and it's like, a puppy. Like, that's never us. That's not going
to
happen.
That is on for you, though. Like, I could do that to you.
Yeah, because I accept things like
and
that.
I just have
you,
a hard time
do
with,
that to you.
I have a hard time, but that's
like,
true.
That's,
I have
that's
a hard time with
some,
that.
That's like, and then you're like, you're not that romantic. I'm like, that's the kind of, that's what I do. That's what I've done. And that's kind of how I am romantic wise mm-hmm. to surprise you. But
because I look at it as like, oh, you just gave me a shit ton of responsibility I didn't necessarily
well, that's
want.
Fair too. That's fair too. But we had also talked about getting a dog. I think what just to like even narrow it even further, we had talked about it. But it was the fact that you didn't get to say yes at the same time yeah. I did. And in my head, that didn't make sense to me because I'm like, do you not trust my opinion?
Right.
Do you not love me enough to know that I'm going to bring something home that you would love mm-hmm. as well? Do you not trust me enough or love me enough to trust that I'm going to bring something into the home that's not going to burden you? So that made me feel like, wow, she doesn't love or trust me.
And that's been a major learning curve in our relationship because I've never been in a relationship long enough to get to places where I can actually learn how to surrender. I'm a control freak. I have Beyond. To be in charge. Yes. But that's a response from wounds.
And now with the dog, when he moves, I got him. I'll take him. No, no, no. Give him to me. I'm like, I can
yeah,
take care of the dog.
He's my baby.
No, I can't. I can't.
He's my baby.
I can't even hug him
so,
without her saying, you're hugging him wrong.
So we know that the day you got Quinn was the second happiest day of your life. And we know that the day you married me was the happiest day of your life. So can you talk about our wedding really quickly?
Okay, Leah.
I want to hear about our wedding from your point of view.
Okay, got it. So from my point of view, I was nervous AF because I couldn't believe I was doing such an adult thing without talking to a parent because I still live in kidland in my brain sometimes. And
well, we told our family we were getting married.
Yes, but we got married during the pandemic. And my parents
weren't there.
Not there.
Neither were mine.
And I didn't ask for permission. I was doing things in an adult fashion, even though I'm old as hell, that my brain was like, mm-hmm. you know, you're making like a big decision and your parents don't know. Like, that's how my brain works. The photo shoot downstairs in the apartment building, you made me feel comfortable enough to be an adult and not have to look for permission, right? That's mine. Like, and you know this, we talked about it, but I'm like, I used to call my mom all the time.
All the time.
Mom, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, make a decision that I want to at the end of the day, but always, you know, look for her approval or whatever and whatnot. And going through that, nervous the whole entire day, really happy that it was just us because, not because I don't love you, but I think if it was a big hoopla, I think I might have had a heart attack. Yeah, I think I would have had a panic attack
like
walking down the aisle.
Like Mr. Big. We didn't even have an aisle because you couldn't do that.
I honestly will be honest. Like, thinking about it right now, as that person back then, I would have hyperventilated and had to walk away.
Aww,
I would have waited. Because it's so...
Like you would have run across a busy road
yeah.
after proposing because she did do that.
It's so real compared to what my life has been thus far. Like, I can walk down the aisle on an episode
on
of That's
set,
a Raven
yeah.
or a movie set, but for me having to do such a big decision and not it be monetarily and filmed and it actually be like real life was scary AF. But did it, and proud of myself for doing it and proud of myself for like growing up. What about you?
I remember waking up that morning and you actually went over to Debbie's to set up. So for those of you who don't know, we got married during the pandemic in June. And we got married in Debbie Allen's front yard. She hosted, and
thanks,
it was
Mama
wonderful. And you went over there, and I remember thinking, oh my God, what if she never shows up? Like, I remember
she
having
never come back.
Yeah. Like, I had that panic of like she left. Like, I had this feeling.
My chonies were at your house. Of course I'm coming back.
No, I know. But I had this feeling of just like, this, like, if I don't have her in my sight the whole time, it won't happen. So I guess we were kind of feeling the same thing. I was like, oh my gosh, but you left. And yes, of course you came back. I went and got my hair done.
I got McDonald's.
I know. I know. And that was so funny to me because I remember you came back and you were like, all right, well, I did it. And I was like, did what? And you were like, I had my last McDonald's. And then you said, I promise I'm never going to eat it again. And I was like, okay. And you were like, well. And I was like, I never asked you to promise.
I'm making sacrifices.
I know. And it was just funny, though, because I wasn't in on the height of the sacrifice, like of how intense the sacrifice was to you. But you were like, here's my biggest gift to you. It's kind of like when you DM'd Kim Kardashian and you were like, okay, I did it. And I was like, what did you do? And you're like, I DM'd Kim. And I was like, who wanted you to DM Kim Kardashian? And you
were like, I just felt like everybody wanted me to do it, so I did it.
And it was, and then you expect to be praised, but no one asked you to do this thing. So yes, you announced that you had given up McDonald's, and I was like, good for you, on our wedding day.
And then we took pictures in the bathroom.
Yeah, well, we took pictures. We called my mom. I got my hair done. I clipped in my Amazon veil. It was perfect for what it was. Like, it was perfect. Part of me misses the wedding.
The pomp and circumstance of it all.
The what?
Pomp and circumstance of it all.
Mm-hmm. Pompous circumstance.
Pomp and circumstance.
Pomp and circumstance. What does that even mean?
It's like from, like, Jane Austen. Like, the hoopla of it all. The flowers. The guest
list. I don't think Jane Austen said the pomp and circumstance.
Check it out.
Maybe she did. She didn't even say the hoopla of it all. Anyway.
Which is why I didn't say it.
I wish that I maybe had the experience of, like, the dress and the walk down the aisle, even though you would have hyperventilated and passed out.
I would have loved to seen you in a dress.
Right? That's what I'm saying. I think, I mean, we'll have our party. We'll have our party. I'm going to wear, like, three different dresses. I want to do all the changes. I want to be that bride. I want to have flowers. And I want everyone to get us gifts and celebrate our love.
It's about her.
And you can just be there. And we will make sure we have a CPAP and an oxygen machine for you.
I'm going to need it, honey. I'm going to need it.
I love you.
I love you too, babes. Psycho.
Psycho. Psycho. Psycho killer. Hold the mug up. Hide it from them.
She kissed me. She kissed me first.
La 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 la. Kiss the girl. Bye, y'all. We're toasting to us.